And welcome. This is Until All Have Heard from the Far East Broadcasting Company. I'm Wayne Shepherd with Ed Cannon, president of FEBC. I've been looking forward to this so much, Ed, because if ever there was a ministry birthed in prayer and depends on the prayers of God's people, it's the Far East Broadcasting Company.
You know, Wayne, way back in my history when I worked at Moody Bible Institute, there was a professor there named Dr. Bill Thrasher who wrote a book on prayer.
Yeah.
And I read that some probably 20 years ago, and it marked my life. It really did.
Well,
it was a very powerful book.
He's sitting next to you right now.
Unbelievable.
Did you notice? Welcome, Bill.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be with you.
Bill is an author and professor in the Moody Theological Seminary in Chicago. Some 40-plus years, 40...
44 this
44
year.
Years of God has used him at Moody. So we're so thankful to have you here, Bill. And this week is the National Day of Prayer. Now, this organization FEBC reaches worldwide, but this is the National Day of Prayer coming up on Thursday, so it's appropriate that Bill is here.
I love that. And Wayne, we have had so many deep experiences with our staff around the world in prayer, and I have learned so much about how different cultures pray differently. Some all out loud, all at the same time, some completely silent. Let's have a moment of prayer, and honestly, we'll have silence for 45 minutes. And they're praying. They're not just sitting there. And we want to weave your experience and your wisdom and knowledge about this subject into what Wayne and I have experienced at the Far East Broadcasting Company.
Praise God. Praise
Normally,
God.
Bill, we tell some of the stories behind the ministry of the Far East Broadcasting Company, but I think it's appropriate that we pause today to learn how to pray for FEBC and in our own lives and the lives of our friends and family. And so teach us.
You know, when the disciples observed Jesus as he walked this earth and prayer was a central part of his life. And they came to him one day and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Luke 11:1 used to be on the top of my prayer list. And of course, when they said, "Teach us to pray," the Lord spoke. So I think any child of God can come to him and say, "Lord, teach me to pray." We mentioned Moody Bible Institute. That's where I teach. But D.L. Moody, the greatest preacher of his day, he said, "I'd rather teach one person to pray than 10 people to preach." And arguably, he was the best preacher of his day. But I think it comes, prayer really is not just, okay, just somebody's hobby horse or something, but it's really a recognition of who we are. You know, the promises that God gives to the needy, I'm really attracted to. He sets the needy securely on high, away from affliction. The upright see it and are glad, and all unrighteousness shuts his mouth. I've always been attracted to Psalm 7. That's Psalm 107, 41 and 42. Psalm 72, 4 and 5 says, "Save the children of the needy." I always felt like my children qualified, you know. "Save the children of the needy and put the fear of God in their life," as you read on there, that's Psalm 72. But it does not lie within man to direct our path. Jeremiah 10, I'm not supposed to be smart enough to figure out. I'm a sheep. I need a shepherd. If you want to be wise, Scripture says you have to admit you're foolish. That's what he tells the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3:18. You see the opposite of that in Romans 1. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So the promises to the needy, it's freeing when we, you know, don't be wise in your own eyes, Proverbs says. It'll be healing to your body, health to your bones. It'll bless you physically, psychologically, not to have to feel like you walk around, I've got all the answers, because I don't. Now, what helps us in regard to that is every believer you see, every believer listening to us now, and we thank God for each one of them, are in a battle. And sometimes that battle is very ferocious. I had a dear godly couple talking to me yesterday, just at, don't see them often, and just said, hey, it's been the greatest spiritual warfare of their life this last month or two. They said just continual nightmares, and so we're trying to give some help to them, godly couple, medical doctors. But we're all in a battle. Now, and we have an enemy that's too big for us. I like that. "He delivered me from my strong enemy, for there were too mighty for me," Psalm 18:17. Now, so we need divine strength, and we need divine armor. And so we're all, it's not a sin to be tempted. We are all tempted. That temptation appeals to legitimate needs in our heart to meet them in wrong ways. It's a deceitful appeal to meet that legitimate need in a wrong way. And so when we get in touch with that, that can help us. That can be really the strength and power of our prayer life. C.S. Lewis says, the prayer that precedes all prayer is this: let it be the real I who speak, let it be the real thou that I speak to. So when I'm praying and I'm not praying my heart, I'm not praying. You know, if I have fear and I'm praying, maybe, but I'm not talking to God about that fear.
Yeah, not being honest, right?
Not being honest. You know, I think I was sort of raised that I had a wonderful family, my mother and father, but we just didn't live life quite at that level or talk at that level. If you had asked me, are you fearful? Are you angry? I probably would have said no, and I probably would have been lying to you, but I wasn't in touch with it. I wouldn't have been intentionally lying to you. So God's Spirit, you know, I just say He wants you to help you get in touch with your heart. You know, when God comes to David— through Nathan. He's sinned. Left. You see David's, everything he does is just like, wow, he doesn't respond to Saul in anger, and he just has a chance to avenge himself and doesn't take it. You never would expect chapter 11 when the kings go out to battle, and he doesn't, and he sees beautiful Bathsheba, and he sins in that way in adultery and covers it up with murder. And then he covers those sins up and lives in misery. But then when Nathan comes to him in 2 Samuel 12, this had an incredible impact upon me. When Nathan comes to him and he says, now, he tells him the story and he says, you're the man. But he says, now, David, I gave you your master's house. I gave you your master's wife. If that had been too little, I have many more things like this to give you. I think he's saying, David, I know what you were feeling when you had those wrong thoughts toward Bathsheba. I understand that. I made a man, made a woman, fully understand that. I know the fears you had when you sought to try to cover that up with murder. But, David, why didn't you come to me? Why didn't you come to me? I have many more things like this to give you. If any man's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And that's what we can do in those moments of temptation.
I think we're so self-sufficient in our world. And Ed, as we travel the world, you in particular have traveled the world and seen how people pray in cultures where their very life depends on that prayer.
Right.
It's different for them. And we need to learn from that.
Amen. Yeah. I love the concept of learning about praying. You know, if you'd say, I want to be a brain surgeon. You don't just pick up a scalpel and start.
Right.
But so many of us take for granted that we know how to pray.
Yes.
But we really don't. And I think even the few moments, Dr. Thrasher, you've been speaking, it's like this is the instruction on how to pray. We need to take that seriously.
Yeah.
And I think in addition to that, Wayne, you're right. I wanted to comment on what you just said because the prayers that I hear from those who are serving in places like Thailand and Indonesia, China and Kyrgyzstan at the moment, their prayers are much more focused on the outcome of the ministry, of the work, of God's will, much less focused on, you know—
on self.
Yeah, my kitchen's got a dirt floor and it's muddy today and I need help with that. No, that's never part of those prayers.
Except those circumstances. Bill, isn't that remarkable?
It really is remarkable. And, you know, it's that church that many times the persecuted church, they're experiencing revival. Mm. We need to learn from them.
Yeah, we do get to see a lot of revival. Remind me, but Dr. Thrasher, before you go, to show you some photographs of meetings in places like Thailand where literally hundreds of people are coming to be baptized.
Mm. Wow.
Hungry for God's word. But I think I want to hear more about being hungry how to pray.
Well, you know, everybody, this is something that literally helps me every day of my life, and it's this. If you get in touch with your heart, you're tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted in all ways we are, but yet without sin. And so, and I ask people to, there are some things that are persistent temptations. I mean, as long as I live in this body, I have the flesh and I have the ability to think wrongly, feel wrongly, do wrongly. And so write down your persistent temptation. And then this was the insight that God gave me many years ago, 40 years ago, and it was from the story someone told me on an early morning, Saturday morning, about this man on the West Coast that was leading a lot of people to Jesus from some very difficult backgrounds. And He said, now that you've come to Christ, you're going to be tempted to go back to some of those wrong choices. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to seek God, and I want you to ask him to give you a strategic prayer request that every time you're tempted to go back to that wrong choice, I want you to take it as a prompting to pray that strategic prayer. Wow. And so you're using the temptation to do the wrong thing.
Talk
to
about
become
turning
the motivation.
A negative into a positive.
Yeah. And
right?
You know, I spoke at the Moody Memorial Church for one missions week, missions conference, and they turned it and that, the Sunday morning. That was the challenge I gave them, you know, and we have a great resource in you of the idea of just, okay, let your prayer target be a strategic thing around the world. So here, as I'm living out today, that many times our mind does go in, okay, the kitchen floor, even though it might not be dirt, but it's whatever. But how can God expand that to something more and reaching out to others? So anyhow, the idea of having that, I know having that prayer target, is a tremendous help. If it starts out with just getting a prayer partner.
Yes.
Every time you're tempted, you pray for him. When he's tempted, you pray for him. That's a start. But also, I know what mine is now as I do pray, in a sense, for the various things. See, if you don't pray at that level, we tend to pray from almost pride. Lord, I've got it together. Mm-hmm. Now whip these other people into shape. but the truth of the matter is, God allows me in those moments to feel with people I wouldn't feel with, to identify with people I wouldn't identify with. And so I pray that each one of us could do that. That's a tremendous help.
Yeah.
And
you call it a prayer target without even knowing that we have a publication called the Prayer Target at FEBC.
Praise God.
That is available to listeners through the website, where it gives you a specific target of who and what location to pray for each day. So,
boy, that is beautiful. You know, if you can just take that temptation, that's where I live today, and take it there. What a gift.
Yeah.
You know, I love the fact that you used the word strategic prayer.
Yes.
Yeah, so you hit on one of Ed's key thoughts.
Yeah. So I'm all about strategy. And that term tends to be linked to the secular world, businesses.
Yeah.
You know, big corporations and military exercises. But I think it's a very important word to use in our battle,
amen,
in the battle that God's asked us to fight against an enemy. And putting together a strategy around prayer is such an exciting topic for me.
Well, you know, and this person said there on the West Coast, says, let it be a prayer. If God answers it, it damages Satan's kingdom.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, it damages Satan's kingdom. So that's strategy.
That's powerful praying.
Yes, yes, it is.
And so it is the target. The target is, hey, we want to damage the strategy that Satan's using that's destroying us.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going after us. And I think
absolutely,
it's something that we have to think a little bit more about. You know, the Bible tells us clearly he's roaming around out there wanting to devour us.
Right.
And it's because he hates God. You know, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. You know, I was meditating on that verse this past week. And I was quoting it, let those who hate me flee before him. Yes, he does hate us because we're identified with God, but really who he hates is God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's his battle. Yep. And, you know, we cry to him to fight it. And I just thank God for that. I don't know what, I'm not saying there's not many other principles God can teach us, but I know that every day of my life, usually before I get out of bed, I'm using that technique in that prayer.
Well, I think Ed will back me up on this, but we're going to have you back real soon to talk more about this, Bill, because I've learned so much here today. I want our listeners to benefit from Bill Thrasher as well.
Exactly.
But I don't think we should leave without asking Bill to pray for FEBC's people in the world.
Amen.
Ed, what do you think?
I think it'd be great. Maybe we should refer him to some targets
that
we have in the prayer target.
Sure, please
and,
do.
And a number of occasions when I am asked, how can we pray for FEBC? And the number one prayer on my heart is pray that God sends us people in these countries to serve him. Because we're serving Dr. Thrasher in places with less than 1% Christian.
Wow.
And those Christian people who are talented and gifted have a lot of people calling on them.
Amen.
They're serving in the churches, they're preaching, they're out evangelizing, and for us to get them to work at FEBC is really a challenge. So pray that God would send us more talented people.
Amen.
Pray the prayer that our staff pray around the world, not that the persecution would end, but the persecution would drive more and more people to faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So those are the kind of things we pray
That's
for.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Well, should we pray here?
Yes.
Father, thank you for these precious servants around the world. And Lord, as you live this on this earth and you felt the burden, as you looked at the multitudes, you said they were like sheep without a shepherd, and you turned to your disciples, you sought to put that prayer burden on them. So God, I ask you to put your prayer burdens on us. We know you don't give each one of us every prayer burden, but the ones you give us, God, you'll give us the grace to carry. And Lord, we're praying now for these dear servants. We ask in Jesus' name for these fields that this great mission organization encompasses the world. God, send laborers into that harvest. That's the prayer you inspired in Scripture, ask us to pray. Would you thrust them out, Almighty God, in Jesus' name? And those that are, Father, that are weary, God, would you send refreshment? God, would you lead them to those green pastures to find refreshment and rest? And would you guide them, dear God, in Jesus' name? And in their darkest moments, would you send your help from heaven? Would you do that to each of us as well, Lord Jesus, and those who listen to this broadcast? We pray this in Jesus' name. We ask for your conspicuous blessings upon us, dear God. As the psalmist says, would you bless us that the ends of the earth may fear you? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, wonderful.
Wayne, could I say that we began this program by Dr. Thrasher reading us from Luke chapter 11.
Yes.
Lord, teach us to pray. And that's just what's happened in the last few minutes.
That's right. Yep.
I can't wait for the opportunity to bring you back again.
Yeah, it's not going to stop today.
So we can learn more.
We're going to have you back. One book you've written is called Victorious Praying. That's also a website, Victorious Praying, and that is linked in our program notes at febc.org. But you've written a second book. When you come back, let's talk about that second book you've written and what we can learn about prayer from it.
So that sounds great.
Bill, thank you. And that prayer target we mentioned is available to anyone who's listening today. So go to our website, febc.org. With thanks to Dr. Bill Thrasher and our producer, Joe Carlson, I'm Wayne Shepherd for Ed Cannon. Thank you for listening and supporting the Far East Broadcasting Company, first and foremost, with your prayers. Thank you for listening.